Welcome back to another beautiful episode of An Adoption Story. From me connecting with my own birth family to creating an incredible community worldwide for adoptees, I am now helping other adoptees share their journeys. For this series, I want to send a special thanks to the team at MyHeritage for their incredible support, helping me meet more adoptees around the world to hear their stories, building family trees, and helping me connect more with my own birth family. With their support, I'd like to welcome you all to another episode of An Adoption Story. I am here in upstate New York, where I'm meeting Russian-American adoptee, Nina. She was born in the small Russian village of Bolshoye Voroda, which is located below St. Petersburg. With a difficult circumstance surrounding her birth, she was placed into a hospital for the first 6 months of her life, to then being placed into an orphanage in St. Petersburg. When Nina was 3.5 years old, she was adopted by her American parents, along with her non-biological brother, Sasha. Nina was raised right here in Rochester, New York. She continues to grow links with her country of birth, her life in America, and with her involvement within the adoption community. This is her story.
Nina?
Do you have any memories of your time in Russia?
My memories are more subconscious, just as far as like my habits and stuff. I was like, oh, that's from the orphanage. Like, I can identify that. And it's really difficult because I have a lot of photos and a lot of videos, and I mean, I'm fortunate for that, but it's also like, man, is that a memory that I have in my brain, or is it like a memory of me seeing those videos and seeing those photos? And it's, I see a photo, I'm like, I feel like I've been there, and it's like, man, I have this feeling like I know I've been there. I can sort of put that in place and where that was in the orphanage. I think maybe as a kid, I had definitely maybe a little bit more clear memory, just because I never had my parents sit down and talk to me, hey, you're adopted.
Nina may not remember direct memories of her time in the Russian orphanage, but her parents who adopted her has always made her aware of where she came from.
In the orphanage, actually, when they did like sort of a cognitive assessment, I was pretty aware of my situation. When they sort of was like testing where I was cognitively as a three-year-old, I could tell my parents now that this is where I'm waiting for my parents. This is where I was waiting for, you know.
Nina was born in Bolshoye Voroda, a small village that's located just below St. Petersburg. Nina's parents who adopted her have always told her as to why she was placed in the orphanage. With a difficult circumstance surrounding her birth mother led up to her being placed into the orphanage after she was in hospital for 6 months. For Nina, she understands that her life would have been completely different if she was never adopted.
There was an opportunity for me to have a better opportunity if I was placed in an orphanage and been adopted out. Better opportunity than what I could have had in Russia. So, than what they could have provided for me.
That's what your parents knew of.
Yeah.
With not only Nina being adopted into the family, her parents also adopted her non-biological brother, Sasha. But before this, Nina's aunt had already adopted from Russia. While her aunt was adopting her child, this was when she got the chance to see Nina for the first time. She then managed to get photos to take back to Nina's parents in America. Hoping to start the adoption process for Nina's parents, they had to wait as Nina was unwell during the first meetup with the aunt. For Nina's parents, however, after they waited, they got help from the same social worker that Nina's aunt had, Sasha. After this, they were able to begin the process of adopting Nina.
My adoptive dad's sister.
So your auntie adopted already?
Yeah.
From Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She brought back photos of me to my parents. Be like, oh, this is the little girl I'm talking about that you might want to consider adopting. She's been an orphan for quite a while, and she was really unwell, but she, you know, is getting stronger. And, you know, obviously being put in a family, I could only get stronger. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it began.
That's a bit of a process.
Yeah.
How long did that process take from the start to finish?
So they knew about me in August of 2003, and it actually didn't take too long. I mean, probably the paperwork took way longer. Like, they had to do a home study and all that stuff. That's before you even get like matched or meet the child. Because you even have to get approved for adoption itself, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, they knew about me in August of 2003, and they met me in end of September of 2003, my parents.
Yeah.
They went to St. Petersburg to meet me for the first time, and then the trip to take me home was in November.
With a process that took over 9 months, Nina and her brother Sasha were on their way to America. Nina quickly adjusted to a new way of life growing up. With her aunt, who also adopted from Russia, it was familiar within the family when it came to adoption. However, as Nina was growing older, during her school years, there were times when she struggled to relate with other children.
I feel like having family members that were also adopted, it wasn't weird. It wasn't like, you know, I was never introduced as, hey, this is my adopted niece, this is my adopted daughter, you know? There was never that prefix, you know?
Yeah.
I think it made me fit in a little bit more just because it was like, this is completely normal. With friends and stuff in school, there was definitely certain things that, you know, would come up. I remember specifically there was a couple of children going ahead of me, and the first photo everyone showed was, you know, them as a baby in their mother's arms. And my first photo was my orphanage. I knew I had parents, but it was like, oh, I came from an orphanage.
You didn't have that photo to show yourself, so you would have felt a little bit out of place.
Yeah, yeah.
With your other friends.
Yeah. I don't remember too much of, like, any hate or anything like that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we're small, so it was sort of like, oh, okay, cool. Like, there was a couple things, especially that set me apart a little bit, was just simply delay.
Yeah.
I didn't have a solid foundation for 3 years that most other children did. So I think maybe that, I know that affected me.
For Nina, she knew with her life in America, there would be times when questions will come about with her adoption. She started to learn more about her time in the orphanage and the difficult circumstances that she was in.
I really, really strive to be like everyone else, because when I was in the orphanage, I was cared for as if I was gonna die. Not that they wanted me to die, but they didn't feed me for 5 days when I first entered the orphanage, because they put me in a back room and it just left me there to die. And then they saw that I wasn't, you know, and then for 2 years in the orphanage, I was still in that same back room. I was just, you know, it was just back room, close the door, forget about it. That was sort of my environment.
I think for your parents, they really did save you in that regard.
Yeah.
Bring you over here at such a young age because you needed the care.
Yeah, I needed care, yeah.
For Nina's parents, they always respected her choices when it came to that time of her asking questions about her adoption, including those about her birth family.
As a child, with every single question that came up, my mother, her answers were very appropriate, very age appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't make it weird either. It was just sort of like a normal conversation. The biggest thing I remember was when there was certain things that I would gravitate towards, or I would have this feeling about and be like, oh, that sort of seems like normal. With my cousin and stuff, like, I was obsessed with matching outfits and wanting to be matching and wanting to be sort of like that twin. I didn't know why, but I like subconsciously knew. I was about 9 years old, and I was just watching a TV show, and it was late at night, and I turned to my mom and I was like, man, I wish I was a twin. And she was like, you are. And I was like, wait, what? And I didn't believe her at first. I was like, show me the proof, you know? I always had access to my documents. Again, age appropriate. Being 9 at the time and reading those and seeing, like, I was an identical twin sister, that she had passed about 3 hours after birth. That was all that was written. It answered my question. It was like, that's really cool. And I was really excited, because I was like, you know, I always grew up the youngest, like my brother's older. And I'm like, and it showed on the paper that I was 2 minutes older. I'm like, yes, finally, yes,
the
thank
older sister.
God. Yeah.
For Nina, knowing that she had a twin sister who had passed away was difficult to take in, but was happy to know that she wasn't alone. It wasn't until later on, when she was an adult, that she started to find out more about her twin sister and birth parents with the information that she had. Though in her childhood, Nina experienced a sad family event that pushed everything aside temporarily.
there was a certain point in that sort of like middle school years, I would say maybe 11 to like 13 years old, maybe even 10 to 13. There was just a lot going on as far as, you know, within my own family, my childhood. My father had passed when I was 7, and that caused a lot of division within my family. My brother and I were home alone. We watched him die helplessly. Yeah. I was 7. I felt almost kind of like guilty, like responsible, but I knew I was 7 and I couldn't relate. But that was difficult.
That would have been hard.
So there was just a lot going on as far as even going through growing, and because you grow a lot during those years. I wanted to push Russia as far away as I could. I didn't want to think about it. I even thought about throwing away those papers. It
really?
Was just like,
yeah,
no, don't.
Just push it away and just want to look at
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
After the death of her father, Nina slowly connected again with her Russian background, with the support of her mum by her side. With her aunt also adopting from Russia, she knew that this was a huge part of her entire family.
Did you grow up with the Russian culture much in your family as
a
child?
Yeah, especially on my cousin's side. My cousin, she was adopted at an older age, so she remembered a lot of it and incorporated a lot of that. The same with her mother. Her mother really tried to do that for her and tried to do that for Sasha and I, my brother, so that we wouldn't lose that. So.
And that's a big part of you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like for some families that may not show as much culture in the family, it's quite hard for the adopted child?
Yeah, definitely. It's their beginning. It's where they started. And, you know, you're human, I'm human. You have these rights. Why can't I have that? We should have the same rights.
Exactly. And even though, you know, of course, you're raised in a beautiful family, great parents that raised you, you also have that background. It's your blood.
Yeah.
You have that Russian blood inside you,
definitely.
And you've got that proudness of inside.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As well as being raised here in the States. Yeah. So you've got both sides that you can really look up to.
Yeah.
Nina has always had little pieces of information on her birth family in Russia. She knew that as she got older, she would want to find out more. Conducting a search for any adoptee takes time. As for Nina, she wanted to take her own time with the information she had. And when she reached her early 20s, this is when she decided to look at her documents again to begin a search.
First thing I want to do is get my hands on my documents. I was just like, well, I have my documents, but like, what resources do I have? I didn't really know about some of the resources out there. That was pretty much it for a while. I was actually okay with that because I was like, okay, I called it a search, but really, I think it was more of a search, you know, my life there. It wasn't a search for my parents specifically. I would say I left it alone for quite a few years, actually. Yeah, and then my next big thing was, you know, COVID hit in 2020, and I was in college and focusing on my classes, and then 2021 came along, and it was just like, you've been stuck in your house for almost a year. You know, maybe this is the perfect time to do it.
In the beginning of 2021, Nina decided this was the perfect time for her to try again with finding out more information on her birth family. This was also when I got in touch with Nina for the first time.
I remember typing in how to find my Russian family or something
on
like
Google,
that. Yeah, on Google. Literally, it was like 9 p.m. at night. It's funny because actually your video of your documentary that you made when you went back to Russia the first time popped up, and I was like, oh, okay, who's this like Alex guy? And I watched it. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, he was adopted at a young age, and if he can do that, like, I think I can do that too.
When Nina reached out to me asking for some assistance with finding her birth family, I had been living in Russia to immerse myself with my Russian roots. And during the early stages of me being there, I was able to find links for Nina. And with the support of her mum by her side, Nina was ready for any answers I might find.
I couldn't remember exactly who I connected with first, but I'm pretty sure it was...
You connected to my
brother's wife, that's Irina. Right. I remember I gave you a phone number and you got in touch with your brother at that point. Mm. And what was some of the things that he asked you?
It wasn't much of him asking me anything at that point. He was just sort of like, oh, don't worry, like, I'm your brother, like, I'm not a stranger. He was like, how does your parents feel about, you know, you connecting with us? And yeah, it was a really nice conversation.
When Nina got in touch with her older brother, Sergei, for the first time, she also got in contact with her two older sisters, Sveta and Natasha. From information that Nina has learnt growing up, She has always known about her siblings, but had never been in contact. She was also aware of a twin who had passed away. While Nina was learning more in the early contact, she also got in touch with her birth mother. Nina's mum made sure that she was there to support Nina as she started to learn more on her birth family.
So what was your mum's reaction like?
She was really, really happy for me. Yeah, really supportive. I think as I got a little bit more in touch with my biological mother, there was sort of that hesitancy. She maybe thought she would lose me, you know, but I'm like, no, you're my mom. This person that I'm reaching out to, she's my biological mother, you know, that's all she is to me. She was not my mom, because a mom is a person who raised me,
yeah.
And my biological mother is a person who just gave birth to me.
Any connection with birth family can always be overwhelming and emotional, as it was for Nina. And when she got in contact with one of her sisters, she then got to talk briefly with her birth mother.
That was when it set in. It wasn't when I met my brother. It was like, hey, your mom wants to talk to you. I'm like, what?
How soon was that from the time you connected with your brother?
Couple of days, yeah.
So that week would have been
overwhelming. I mean, it was like, it was a roller coaster.
Nina's mum also sat down with her to share more information on her twin sister about what happened with her passing. This news for Nina was difficult to take in, but knew it was the right time, respectfully.
Yeah, my mom was, she's like, I believe that your sister may have passed because your mother terminated the pregnancy. Yeah. And that was really difficult because I had always grown up thinking that, you know, maybe my mom would return for me in the orphanage.
Yeah.
And so when I learned about her terminating the pregnancy, it was like, wow, she really doesn't want me. There was no way she was going to return for me. And I think, I mean, my heart felt in my stomach, and that was probably one of my darkest days. I sort of made it my mission to also, I wanted to give my sister a voice too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sharing my story, it's her story too.
Going through any loss is always emotional. For Nina, she knows that with sharing a story, it's also giving her twin sister a voice. Nina knows just how hard this will always be to take in when it comes to decisions that her birth mother took. Nina also places herself in her birth mother's shoes at the time, understanding that the circumstances were hard.
You know, she already had 3 kids. She was not well off financially. That part was true. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think she just panicked because she found out she was having twins. And it was like, how am I going to feed 2 more mouths?
Yeah.
So that I really, you know, tried to give her grace on that. But then it was just difficult.
After Nina had got in touch with her siblings and birth mother, she managed to get in touch with the birth father. There, she was able to contact him through social media.
With my birth father, that was actually surprising because I didn't know a lot of anything with my birth father. And so I was really, really surprised that my birth father wanted to talk and wanted to be open. You know, not only that, we could also talk about like my interests, his interests. I learned a lot about him, and we're actually like similar in like what we like. And unfortunately, that went on hold because he's ill right now. He doesn't really remember a lot of things, including myself. He doesn't remember me because he's ill. So that was really difficult because we were close. So I mean, closer than I thought we would ever be. He provided a lot of validation with my own feelings towards being put up for adoption.
So he helped you.
Yeah, he
get
did.
Through a lot.
He did, and he was very open, like
yeah.
More open than I thought he would be, which was nice.
Support from your loved ones is always important when it comes to news about birth family. Emotions can overrun with how prepared you really are. There is never a right amount of how prepared you need to be. For Nina, during this time with finding out more about her birth family, she reached out through our I'm Adopted community, connecting through to our private group for support.
The support from that was great. Support that I had never felt before.
Yeah.
Coming from other adoptees, it's so different. I had a great, amazing, supportive mom and family. but it's different because they're not adopted. They can't, they don't know about the adoptee side.
Yeah.
Whereas I could, you know, connect with other adoptees. I was given a lot of good advice. I think that's what helped within that, like, preparedness. I don't think you can really ever prepare for that, but my mother gave me this good advice, was like, oh, hope for the best, but expect the worst. And sort of, so that was really helpful. And my aunt had also said, well, you wouldn't have been put in this, in the orphanage, if it was a good situation. I don't think I would have been as mentally well without the support of the group.
Nina continues to write online within the community about her journey. She also shares blog posts as a writer for the I'm Adopted website. This gives Nina her own space to write her thoughts and experiences for others who may be going through a similar journey themselves.
You know, I can talk about my own journey, and there's no set thing that I really have to, like, write about. It's like, you know, I can write about my own journey at one post, and I can write about some things that may help others.
Do you feel like a lot of this that you're writing within the community is helping yourself with your own identity?
Yeah, it's helping with my own healing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nina continues to connect with her birth family in Russia, learning more every time when she's in contact. While in America, she continues to grow her family tree, connecting more links as she learns more. With Using My Heritage, she's been able to expand her tree not only with her American side, but also her Russian side. Connecting both the family who adopted her and her biological parents on the same family tree. This, for her, shows that since connecting with the birth family, it has only grown bigger. But like for every adoptee who may be wanting to do a search, being prepared is a challenge in itself.
Do you feel like you were prepared at the time to search for your birth family, or do you feel like there's no right answer on when to be prepared?
I would say definitely age is a big thing that's actually, you know, a process of preparedness.
Yeah.
Which most people, I think they, like, overlook that, but I think being at that age and being an adult, that really helped, just because developmentally,
as you get older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Nina, this place here, this is your local.
Yeah.
So what do you get here? Like, what food do you get?
Show me. I found really cool, like, Russian cuisine places, and they're authentic, and, you know, they're made, you know, from people who had immigrated from Russia to here.
So okay. What's your favorite Russian food?
I can't leave without these, like, my favorite, like, treats.
Yeah.
Love wafers. Love them. Also, I remember this.
Okay.
Where are they?
Oh, over here.
These candies.
Chocolate candies.
Yeah. And they're by bulk, so you just, like, grab a few of them. Ooh, cherry. Oh my
milk
god.
Milk chocolate.
Yes, those.
I think it's milk chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you come to places like this, you connect so much more with your, you know, your culture, your bloodline like this when you come into a place like this?
Yes. Well, I mean, my cousins always bring, like, candy, and they're like, oh, this is from Russia, and I've had it before. So to actually, like, know that I have a place that I can actually go buy and get it myself and you know, show others too. You know, I'm learning the language little by little. So I've always wanted to do that, you know, and I think that's just a way to get a little closer. Of course, being so far away.
It must be good for your identity and for yourself.
Yeah. I think I've lost so much time, you know, 20 years. And that wasn't by choice, but now I can make the choice to make that up.
Yeah.
Which is great.
For Nina, her Russian culture and her American culture plays a huge part of her life. For adoptees that may want to do a search for birth family, it's always important to have close support by your side. Not every adoptee may want to do a search, but having a community or someone close to talk to always helps with any journey you're going on.
For me, in my personal journey, I don't think I would have gotten as far as I did with even, like, wanting to search or going along with it if I didn't find the community that I am now, whether it's, you know, connection with support from family and connection support from adoptees.
Having close friends and support family plays a big part.
Definitely finding connections. Yeah.
Finding the connections. And then when you want to do a search, you need to have that support around
right.
you. trustworthy support, right. Friends, close family, close yeah. friends. I think that plays a big part in it. That really does help, no matter what you'll find, and being prepared for anything that comes your way. I think that's another part of it as well. So thank you so much, Nina, for letting me sit down, come all the way from New Zealand to sit down with you and hear your story. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you made it to Rochester.
I made it to Rochester. First time, Northern New York.
Yes.
State of New York.
Yeah, upstate New York. Yeah.
Upstate New York.
You made it.
I made it. So thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
All of us adoptees have our own paths to go on. How we follow that path is up to us.
I want to say again a huge thank you to MyHeritage for the support on this incredible series of mine. Thank you all so much. Look after yourselves. See you all very soon.
Oh, already. All right, he's rolling. Take 300.
Hello to all of you all across the world and welcome back to another video. I'm here in the north of New York.
Go.
He's got the giggles, mate.